Welcome to the Exec MBA Podcast. I'm Brett Twitty, Director of Admissions for the Executive Formats of the Darden MBA, and you are listening to a new episode. So in this episode of the podcast, I'd like to continue our look at entrepreneurship and the executive formats with a conversation with Jason Brewster. Jason directs the iLab Summer Incubator Program. This is a 10-week workshop for folks who are just starting businesses. And he and I recently sat down to talk a little bit more about what brought him to the iLab, his prior experiences in entrepreneurial ventures, startup world, what he enjoys about the work that he does currently, as well as his insights about the entrepreneurial ecosystem both here at Darden, UVA, as well as in Charlottesville. So if you're passionate about entrepreneurship or just interested in learning a little bit more about the resources available to students here at the Darden School, I think you're going to enjoy this conversation. So without further ado, here's my interview with Jason Brewster. Jason, welcome.
Thank you. Glad to be here, Brett.
So tell us just a little bit more about your story. Who are you? What do you do? How'd you get here?
So I found my way circuitously here. We moved to the Charlottesville area in 2013. And in 2015, I started mentoring that summer. And I worked with a couple teams, supported them through the summer incubator. And then in the fall, the opportunity emerged to come in on a more full-time capacity in running the incubator, which sounded like a fun challenge, and here we are today, 3 years later.
And, you know, to tell us just a little bit more about your background before arriving in Charlottesville. I mean, entrepreneurship,
sure.
Startup?
Yeah, all startups. Yeah. So, working here at Darden, this is the first time I've technically had an employer in over 15 years. So I've done primarily startups, software-based startups, and those startups in both the legal and marketing automation spaces.
What do you enjoy about startup culture? You know, for some people, it's the ambiguity can be really challenging, uncertainty, and where is this going? But what do you enjoy about it?
Probably the ambiguity, the uncertainty of knowing where this is going.
Yeah.
It. I find that that for me, there's a particular interesting challenge in meeting a market in the middle with creating something that I initially believe is needed, then putting it in the marketplace to find out, well, it actually is a lot different than I envisioned, but the need is constant.
Mm-hmm. And I guess that's always an evolving thing.
It always is, yes.
It was fascinating talking to David Tuvey a little bit about the work that you do with students and trying to help them fail quickly, right, so they can figure out, or, you know, succeed quickly so they can figure out whether they have a good idea or whether they need to have a different idea or
right.
variation on their
own. You ultimately, and with the only caveat being that if you take outside money, it's a bit different. But if you're doing it on your own and you remain in a controlling position, you only fail if you stop doing it. So the basic premise I have is that, and especially now having worked with over 75 teams, is that it comes down to the founders, to the team members, and their ability to continue to execute as well as to listen to the market needs.
Mm-hmm. So you come from, you know, sort of the business world, and now you're with the iLab, the incubator, and so what attracted you to this work? It's a little bit, I guess it's related to what you're doing, but a little bit of a shift.
Right. It's it is interesting because you mastery really comes, I think, from teaching, because you have to better understand. I mean, it's one thing to be kind of swimming up the stream and looking out for your own interests and pursuing a path in a particular way that, you know, in my case suits me. It's another seeing all these ventures and the joys and challenges of being often wrong or right about how certain things will evolve or the kind of outcome that can be anticipated. So for me, it's a very interesting way to to more fully understand how entrepreneurship can be successful and the things that are that punctuate it.
So 75 different teams that you've worked
right.
with. You mentioned that number. I imagine 75 different products or ideas you have to sort of
pretty much
learn about what they're doing. It must be fascinating to get to sit with the founders and say, well, why are you doing this? What problem are you trying to solve? You know, explain your business to me.
Yeah, it's almost like it's I've become a venture capitalist, but without any of the financial upside. But it is fun, and it's we take ventures. We're both stage and industry agnostic. So we see various levels from the concept level to those that already have paying customers. And then industry wise, we see everything from mobile apps to medical devices to agricultural applications. It's a pretty wide range.
So, you know, what's your approach? How do you learn? I mean, so you're sitting with, you know, the founders, you know, they're in the summer incubator. What's your approach to understanding what they do and understanding their product?
Well, so after the second year, I became much more deliberate mm-hmm. about making the incubator what we call an effectual incubator, and that is applying the entrepreneurial framework and methodology that Sarah Sarasvathy mm-hmm. of Darden created. And it's been instrumental in helping set paths and guide us forward. The five principles create a common vernacular through which we can all understand the decision making or the points at which ventures may be struggling. But it also, from an applied sense, we've really pushed the effectual ask. And so the way to guide all ventures, whether it, again, is a medical startup or agricultural or a software mobile app, is to ensure that the teams are making regular asks. They're picking their head up. They're not just doing spreadsheets. They're not just planning, but they are engaging with potential customers. They're engaging with people who can help them build, and that they're constantly in forward movement.
It was great to talk with Melissa Stefaniak, who was in the summer incubator with her single baked sweets concept, about sort of that concept of, you know, being at city markets and, you know, taking mm-hmm. her individually packaged, you know, goods out and asking customers, what do you think? Which is a little nerve wracking, right? But it's
right.
the best way to get that feedback.
You know, if you ask thousands of times, you start to, just basic human nature, you start to figure out what resonates and how to best position and sell a product. And Melissa has done an excellent job at getting out at farmers markets and being vulnerable and being ready to hear, no, I don't want to buy your product. And that's a very important step that all entrepreneurs need to make.
It's been fun to see her classmates support her, too, as she's taken additional steps. So she's now full-time focused on her business.
She is.
Which is an exciting step for her. I was talking with her about it a couple weekends ago, and she was passing out baked goods that her classmates had purchased, and, you know, her classmates were wearing T-shirts, and she's got a team of classmates that help her
right,
with
yeah.
her business, which I think is fantastic to see that sort of community dimension to it, because you have access to all this talent when you're a student here.
Right. Well, and even beyond that, I've seen she has been able to draw her classmates in to even help her package the contents of her product and to help on even in the production side of things.
So let's talk sort of practically. You know, mm-hmm. how did if a student comes to Darden and they're interested in being in the incubator, how do they go about that process?
Well, so the regular application process is it starts in January. We have a couple workshops leading up to the application deadline. Application deadline this year is January 24th, but it's typically toward the end of January. That application is it's straightforward. There's some branching logic in it where if you already have a product, then you're going to get a product or service, you're going to get different questions than if you don't. Largely around, if you don't, how are you going to build it? Do you have the skills or do you have the ability to gain access to those? Mm-hmm. Once that application is submitted, then we go into interviews, which happen in early February. And that interview period is fun, but it's fast. We take 6 minutes with each one of the ventures that applies. And in that time, we usually suggest a minute and a half to 2 minutes for an introduction to the selection committee, and then approximately 4 minutes of questions.
Wow. 6 minutes.
6 minutes.
How did you arrive at 6 minutes?
Well, so I modeled it after what some other incubators do and what I've had to go through before in interviewing. And it seems fast, but remarkably, it's very accurate. I mean, mm-hmm. you can tell. I mean, what we're really looking for is the passion, the commitment, the enthusiasm to be able to take whatever product or service and rapidly evolve that to meet market demand.
Mm-hmm. So you mentioned that there have been surprises along the way. You've learned all sorts of things. You know, one of the things that we love about the podcast is the opportunity to tell some stories. So
sure.
Are there any stories of businesses, products, concepts that have come through the iLab, success stories or surprising stories that come to mind?
Let me think for a second here. There are numerous. And I'm sure on your podcast you're interested in naming names.
No, you don't know. No. I think I think our listeners are interested. Sort of, this is mm-hmm. my general sense of it. Is you know, sort of the arc maybe of this is where we started and this is where we got to,
sure.
or the evolution that maybe some of these products go through. I think particularly for people looking at business school,
right?
You know, that sort of iterative process feels very real.
For sure. Yeah. Well, so oftentimes I will see a product or service presented, mm-hmm. and down deep I'll think that thing will never be successful. But for whatever reason, we accept them in. We have a selection committee, and that entrepreneur proves very adept and committed at making that thing, that product or service work and getting an audience and being successful with it. And so I guess the best thing is just the challenge of my own biases mm-hmm. as to whether or not something will be successful. But again, it all comes full circle to me and what I have learned, and I see now very clearly why the expression is you bet on the jockey, because it's entirely based on that team, and it's based on that team's ability. But the other thing I've seen that's interesting is I've kind of come up with this trifecta of what creates enterprise value. And I think that in order to see value emerge, you have to really have two things. And that's you have to have a team, you have to have the product or service, and you have to have market. And when you have all three, that's really where you hit product market fit. And that's when aggressive scale can happen. Mm-hmm.
Wow. So much to think about there. MJ Toms noted when she was talking about the VC boot camp mm-hmm. that you do about how much the VC stress that they are looking at the team beyond. Mm-hmm. You know, it makes sense, right? Because if you got good people, you know, they'll figure it out or they'll be able right. to, I mean, they'll be able to come up with a solution to the problem and stick with it. And
right.
So I guess, you know, you are probably looking at the founder a lot in their energy and commitment to it.
Right.
That force of personality.
And I think it, between friends and family and angel rounds, mm-hmm. you can entirely or for that matter when we bring teams into the incubator, you can exclusively bet on team. Mm-hmm. But I do think if you're going to get venture capital or you're going to mm-hmm. go for more sophisticated investors, you need to have two, if not three, of those components in place. Mm-hmm. Like even if you have a terrific, excellent product and a great team, if you don't have a market and you, even if you put a lot of intensive capital resources into it, if you capture 100% of the market and it doesn't return the capital, then it's not going to work. Mm-hmm. And the same with the product. I mean, there's lots of markets that would be open, mm-hmm. like supersonic travel or, you know, all kinds of things. But again, if you don't have the product and you mm-hmm. can't prove that that product can be built within some reasonable commitment, then you're not going to get institutional money, at least.
So a little bit of a riff on the success story question. So how mm-hmm. how would you think, I mean, what makes someone comes through the iLab incubator, mm-hmm. and what makes a successful summer for that person, you know, in your mind?
Right.
And you say at the end of this, gosh, this has been a great use of this person's experience.
It's an interesting question because it was a lot of my focus this last summer is what is success, especially when you're using the effectuation framework where you're entirely means driven. You can't say, well, we hit this milestone or this goal, because that's not really the approach with effectuation. But what it ultimately comes down to is that you're increasing your resources. So if you look at, say, the bird in hand principle, mm-hmm. well, you're increasing your bird in hand. You're meeting more people. You're increasing your startup's runway. You have more time and more energy to put toward it. Or pilot in the plane or affordable loss. All those are constantly evolving. And so I see success as making further progress against those things. Mm-hmm. As well as an understanding. You've got to develop your own key performance indicators, your KPIs. Because there's a tendency to feel like if you're working, you're making progress. And it's the best analog is like a race car driver. A race car driver can easily be fooled into thinking forward progress is being made even if the car is skidding. And so you have to learn, or I'm a pilot as well, and same kind of thing. You have to be able to trust instruments. You have to be able to have reinforcement beyond what your gut says, because oftentimes you are in motion, but you're not in the motion that's necessary to be successful.
So how do you help students develop those key performance indicators? Is it through conversations with you and or, you know, mentors or other people in the incubator?
Well, here's the little secret. I guess it's not so much of a secret, but for me, the canary in the coal mine mm-hmm. is when a team tells me, Jason, this week I don't have any asks. We don't really need to be asking any questions. We just need to be doing. Well, that to me says there's trouble because on one hand, you don't really know what you need to be doing. You don't have a market fit. So you need to be out there doing like what Melissa was doing, being at a farmer's market, finding out what resonates with prospective customers or those who maybe she has seen as a common face who have bought before, but those customers don't want to buy again. You know, those are kinds of things where you're learning about the marketplace. Mm-hmm. Or on the other hand, maybe you've learned enough and now you need to execute. Mm-hmm. Well, as you're trying to execute, well, you also need to be asking questions because you don't have all the answers. So, again, in the single baked sweets example, you need to talk to food experts or you need to say things like, if it's the summer and I'm trying to ship this, how do I keep the chocolate from not melting? Or how do I increase my shelf life? Or how do I overcome all the myriad issues that emerge when you're doing it? If you don't have any questions and you can't make an ask, then that's a problematic time.
Yeah. So describe the summer experience a little bit. I mean, obviously we talked about effectuation. We talked about, you know, these asks and developing key performance indicators. And,
right.
You know, how does the summer work for people who are in the, for companies and concepts that are in the incubator?
Sure. So continuing from the interview, those that are selected, one of the first things we do is, and this is one of the great values, is we have a partnership with UVA Law, and UVA Law puts law students together with the ventures to help them get formed if they're not already incorporated in some way, and also to get some basic legal instruments in place. So think of it as, like, say, the legal startup package, and that's where things start. From then, we start to introduce them to a lot of the frameworks like effectuation, and then leading into the summer, we pair them with mentors. So we have now over 100 mentors. I think 120 at last count, that work with the teams. So each of the teams is typically put with anywhere from 3 to 5 mentors.
That's awesome.
And then when the program starts, there's a regular cadence of check-ins. So we always have check-ins. We always have 1 to 2 programs where we bring in we have a number of professors who volunteer their time in the program, some of the great minds here at Darden, but also across UVA. We have entrepreneurs who are in the community that come in and meet and share their stories. So we have a lot of that. And then those who will come in maybe for smaller group gatherings around how to, say, hack growth or how to think about financing or how to address things that matter to the entrepreneurs. But really the biggest thing I think that comes out of it is the peer interaction. So we have anywhere from 40 to 50 founders working closely together day after day, and some real strengths and bonds come from that, come from that period. And just like in the EMBA program or in any other program, the helping each other, the community, strengths emerge.
So this is the Exec MBA podcast. So we would ask, we talked a little bit about Melissa, who's probably our most recent example of student in the summer incubator. If I'm an executive format student, you know, thinking about, gosh, I have a concept, I might want to give this a try. We talked a little bit about the application process. What else would you want executive format students to know about the summer incubator, you know, things to be mindful of if this is of interest?
Right, so we love having Exec MBA students in the incubator. They're sharp, they're driven, but they also bring a lot of real world experience because they tend to be older, and they also have a certain maturity with respect to working with the market. So it's a great balance. We've typically had 2 to 3 EMBAs in every summer in the program, and they've been very successful. So, you know, I would certainly encourage any exec MBA to apply and go through the process and put themselves out there for consideration to be in the program.
I know Melissa ended up taking some time off from work and coming down to Charlottesville. It's
right.
Probably logistically, right? It's something that students probably need to think about, you know, being physically here and located. You talked about the cohort experience, right?
Right. And so we are a full-time program, and one does not need to live in the Charlottesville, Albemarle area to apply before the period of the summer incubator. It necessitates being here. So that's one caveat, and then certainly the other is it's really hard to have a second job during the period of that 10 weeks.
Yeah, it sounds like between meetings with mentors, cohort activities, programs, obviously the work that they're doing to advance their business concept.
Right, and if you're not working on your venture actively in the co-working space, these peer relationships won't emerge.
Yeah. Yeah, I do think for the students who have done it, they've had an opportunity to sort of take the plunge and really focus on their business. And so I think that's a helpful reminder for people as they orient to this particular experience to say, hey, you know, this is you need to be committed to focusing on your startup.
Right.
So any last words about entrepreneurial resources here? I mean, obviously we've covered a lot of ground here, and some of this that we talked about today resonates with other podcasts that we've had. Talked about MJ Toms being on here, the conversation we had with Melissa, and obviously with David as well. Anything you would want students to know about entrepreneurial resources?
Well, we're certainly available. Mm-hmm. I would say that we are willing to meet with and support students outside of participating in the one of our formal programs, but to help us out, to come with preparation, to send us written executive summaries, or tell us specifically where we can be helpful, and articulate that so that we can actually help. But that would be probably the one thing I'd say, and that certainly is an offer to alumni or the Charlottesville Albemarle community as a whole, and of course students across grounds, that we're here to help. We want to see founders succeed, especially those associated with UVA and in our great community of Charlottesville.
Yeah, one of the things that David said that really resonated with me is to think beyond just, oh, we have an E-Cup or an iLab or these sort of formalized resources, to think about relationships too and people, right? Because you think about UVA, Darden, people who are here in the Charlottesville area, in the D.C. area, who are doing startup-related things. I mean, there's a lot.
I mean, this new code building that's going in downtown, you know, it's a sad loss of an ice skating rink, but a great addition to our community. And there's a number of co-working spaces, and Charlottesville as a community is all in. With entrepreneurship and venture formation, all in.
You probably have a front row seat for a lot of that, I imagine.
Yeah, I do. You know, we think there's great capital raising opportunities in the community, and it's a great place to be as you move from the original founding team to hiring to going national or international. But one of the jobs we see is we along with other entities, and entities in the community like CIC or Hacksieville or, Works in Progress or others, we're all trying to fill the funnel. So this is really, if you can't engender and spark an initial enthusiasm for people to dive in, then you're not going to have the numbers when it comes time for those who are going to reach investment or those who are going to start accelerating and hiring a lot of people. And so it all has to start somewhere. And so we really feel like our job is to be there to be a supporting cast member in creating a new venture. There's another real interesting model that I've shown to people over and over, and it's remarkable, called the Dunning-Kruger. And what it basically says is it's a steep rise up to a point, and on the vertical axis is confidence, and on the horizontal axis is experience. And so it's a quick rise to the highest level, the peak of confidence, when you know very little. And then there's a big U shape. But on the other end, when you are fully competent, you have the experience, it's never as high as when you're basically incompetent.
Uninformed.
Right, uninformed, right? And so one of the things I do work on a lot during the summer is that as entrepreneurs, as ventures are progressing, they will often hit these lulls where they feel like they're not going to be successful. And if you look at that Dunning-Kruger, it basically reinforces that, that as you're gaining experience, all of a sudden it's like, wow, this is like incredibly, this is much more difficult than I thought it would be. Much, much, much. But if you can, again, objectively look at it and say, yeah, actually that's a signal that you're progressing and that you are starting to learn things that will be invaluable to ultimately have the experience necessary to have a successful business.
Yeah, when you listen to How I Built This or any of those stories,
right,
it's all like,
they all have that bottom wall, right?
Yeah.
There's always, you know, whether it's the Intuit founder or, I mean, yeah, any of those Guy Raz ones, there's always, I mean, it's predictable as how a movie plays out. There's, that is the point where they emerge from that low and say, I never thought this business would have been successful. And I've never heard an entrepreneurial story where that point isn't in there. Never.
Well, Jason, thank you so much for being on the podcast.
Thanks for having me.
And that was my interview with Jason Brewster, director of the iLab Summer Incubator Program. Of course, as always, if you have comments, suggestions, requests, anything you'd like for us to cover here on the podcast, we're all ears. We can be reached at exec, that's E-X-E-C, MBA, at darden.virginia.edu. Until next time, thanks for listening.